I've talked about the Syrophoenician woman before in this context, and why, of course, Jesus' words to her are not insulting. So I thought what I'd do today is just talk a little bit about this Genesis narrative, which I consider to be one of the most remarkable narratives in the history of Revelation, because it really does contain within it a wisdom and an explanation of sin and what happened in the original fall, which I just think is beyond anybody of, you know, around 600 BC to have constructed. It's almost beyond the pale, without, of course, the help of divine inspiration. Yesterday, you know, we heard about how God prepares this wonderful garden, and with just everything in it, except, of course, the one prohibition of not eating from the tree of life. Then today we hear that God's still looking to do something for human beings. And just this portrayal of God's just overwhelming love. So he makes human beings in his own image and likeness. He puts them in this state of a kind of an original paradise. He's got all the needs that Adam and Eve would have, or Adam would have, all done. And he's still looking for something. He wants the perfect companion, but the perfect complement as well as the perfect companion for Adam. And of course, creates Eve for this abundance of love. Tomorrow, of course, we're going to hear what happens. And what happens, everybody knows. The serpent comes, which of course is an image or a symbol of Satan. And he's very cunning, as the scripture says. And so how does he get Adam and Eve, who almost have this idyllic world, this idyllic sort of vision of God, this idyllic sense, you know, where they know no shame even. How does he get them to commit this sin with this one prohibition not to eat of, you know, the tree of good and evil? And as one might suspect, as the wisdom of this narrative shows, he gets them on the sin of pride. And he says, you know, did God ask you not to eat of any of the trees? And of course, they said, yeah, well, that one over there in the middle of the tree of life. Well, you know, the reason that he doesn't want you to eat from this tree is because you're going to be like him. And he doesn't want you to be like him. So, I mean, you'll know, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be just like him. And of course, that's the double deal. First of all, you know, you envy God, then you want to be just like God so that you can, as it were, be your own God. And then, of course, there's the resentment that I didn't get everything that God has. So he's got this trifecta of sins that he kind of zeroes in on. You know, the resentment and the envy and the pride, all in one just nice bubble. And of course, he says, by the way, just, you know, pick one of those fruits. Take a look, you know, and of course it's delightful to look at. So you've got that sensual thing as well. And finally, of course, they fall. And when they fall, what happens is that their whole image of, you know, this original innocence, this kind of direct apperception of God and his love is completely darkened by this radical sin of anger, envy, and pride, resentment, envy, and pride. And when this happens, of course, the church teaches that it's going to affect every single generation after that time, that it somehow has darkened not only the vision of our original parents, but it darkens our own vision as well. And isn't it the truth that, as this passage so wisely says, that the evil spirit just knows just exactly how to get us, and Taylor makes the temptation just for us. And when all else, above all things, the best thing to do, of course, is get envy and pride going so that there's substantial resentment. So at the end of the day, you even resent the God who created you and gave you everything. And in the moment of superabundant pride, just allow you to fall as he pulls the rug out from under us. This is really how he works. And of course, we know this. And so I think that the grace to ask for is not to fall prey to these kinds of envies, to fall prey to this kind of pride and resentment, because that's how he's, you know, he's going to work it. If he can't get you on the sensual issues, if he can't get you on sheer hedonism, then he's going to try and get you above all in envy and pride and resentment. Amen.